Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We had some bad discussions, but nothing materialized. Ultimately, our biggest goal was to come into this deadline and try to meet some needs with the pitching. And so yesterday, we felt like getting a starter, that was very important. And then adding to the back half of the bullpen was another big thing because we rode those guys pretty hard in the first half. So we did have some discussions about position players, but nothing materialized.
That is Astros general manager Dana Brown after yesterday's loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates on the Space City Home Network. I'm Paul Gallant, Joe George. We've got Sean Mapes hanging out as well. Earlier in the show, Joe said that he believes the trade deadline is a failure because the Astros weren't able to get any bats. Right there, Dana Brown, Joe, was asked if the Astros tried to get a bat. The rumor was that Yandy Diaz of the Tampa Bay Rays was the apple of their eye. If you really want to get conspiratorial, whatever, just go with me here. You know what I'm trying to say. They did take Bryce Matthews out of the lineup in Corpus Christi, so maybe for a moment they thought about moving him as well. People would have really lost their minds, I bet, if Bryce Matthews got moved, even for Yandy Diaz. Like, really, you need to get like a top-of-the-line guy. But after hearing Dana Brown talking about that, do you still feel the same way? Trade deadline a failure without getting that bat that you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, they clearly believe enough in between Chaz, you know, Dubon, Jake, Tucker as the outfield solution, and then Singleton slash Dubon at first base. Like they think that they can make it work. I still view it as a failure, maybe a little strong. You know, I guess I'll go D as well.
A D. D's get degrees. I gave it a D for the trade deadline. It's not a failure.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty bad.
Do you consider a D failure then?
I do.
Ah, look at you, son of a teacher.
But it's not enough. So they tried.
They
a
did
lot of
try.
Times that's the difference between in school. That's the difference between a D and an F. A lot of teachers.
You know what? You're probably right.
A lot of teachers will not fail a student if they try. And Dana Brown tried.
You're talking about yourself. Did your dad ever give you a D?
No. I got A's in his classes.
You got A's?
Yeah.
A little bias?
No.
Okay. Just asking.
Speech class.
Speech class?
Yeah.
Nepo baby?
How does speech class go? Did you have to like memorize a speech and deliver it?
Memorize, write your own, impromptu.
Write your own? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't have to do speech class?
We had this thing in 7th or 8th grade called, I think, declamations, and you had to recite a speech from something, whether it was a movie or it was from like real life.
So gladiator speech did you do?
You know what? Someone in my class did, I think, use the gladiator speech. Someone used the speech in Independence
Day.
That was
what I was thinking. I was like Independence Day gladiator.
No, I did because your boy always has been a
Scarface
history nerd. Uh-oh. No. Give me liberty or give me death by Patrick Henry. They're going 1700s on their asses. And it was a rather, let's just say, difficult thing to remember because back in the 1700s we spoke different than we speak today.
Stuff. Yeah, you didn't make it easy on yourself.
You should have done
that. No, I didn't, but I did it. I nailed it.
Denzel at the end of Training Day.
I feel like, or any given Sunday. I feel like that's in there.
Anyway. To bring it back to the Houston Astros, we do this every single Wednesday, generally at 2 o'clock, if Dana Brown speaks on the Astros flagship. We've heard a lot of Dana Brown the last couple of days. We decide whether or not we are down with what Dana Brown had to say. Are you down with Dana B?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown on the Astros flagship earlier today had this to say about Yusei Kikuchi, the crown jewel of the Astros trade deadline acquisitions. We had a lot of guys in mind, but Kikuchi was a guy we definitely targeted. He has power stuff. Those are guys you want in your rotation, especially when you are making a run to the playoffs in the World Series. You can't always focus on the ERA. We see him as a number three starter. A lot of stuff to buy or sell with Dana Brown there. Let's start off with the first one, Joe. Do you buy that you can't always focus on the ERA?
I do buy that. There's a lot of bad luck in baseball. There's, you know, bad pitch calling. There's bad coaching. There's just a general unluckiness that happens in the sport. Now, over eight starts when your ERA is over seven, that I buy into a little bit more. So I'm like 50-50 on this. I'll buy and sell it.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay. So I look at that. And I do focus on the ERA because I'm a simple-brained baseball casual, okay? If the ERA is over 4.5, sorry, I don't trust you by default. Does that make me ERA-cist? Yes.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that. I wasn't sure if you're going to go elitist or...
No, it actually works. ERA-cist.
Yeah, that's good.
No, thank you. It worked.
We see him as a number three starter. Do you buy or sell that? Dana Brown.
Sell.
Yeah, number three starter. Good God. That concerns me.
Not on this team.
Optimally, no. I mean,
yeah.
Sounds like, I guess if you want to parse that a little bit, okay, Verlander's back, Fromber's back, but shouldn't it be Hunter Brown or Ronald Blanco based off of what you're seeing this year? And on top of that, maybe it says something about where they view Luis Garcia upon his return or Lance McCullers upon his return as bullpen guys.
I think Luis Garcia is a bullpen guy this year, and McCullers is a bullpen guy in 2025, I guess.
Gotcha.
Because I don't think he's pitching for the ass.
Well, to be fair, Kikuchi isn't under contract for 2025, so.
Yes, but I still think McCullers is a bullpen guy in 2025.
Okay. That was unnecessary.
I know, but he's not a real person at this point. Yeah, I guess you're saying you don't believe in Blanco and you think Kikuchi's going to be better than Hunter Brown? Better than both of them?
I'm not going to go quite that far, but I think this is partly Dana Brown being a politician, as he always is, you know? Yeah! He Dean screams everything.
Yeah, no GM comes in and they're like, nah. Our trade deadline, the guy we got, we did our best.
Right.
We ended up with this. So there is going to be some element of, but calling him the number three, if you want to put him over one of Brown or Blanco those two guys are coming back down to earth, and we think Kikuchi with Miller and Murphy getting their hands on him, that he can be better than his last eight starts, fine. To put him over both of them, that's where I'm like, whoa. Almost like a bad thing.
But Dana Brown very easily today could have gone on the radio and said, I told you we were getting a number three or four starter, and I believe with our coaching, we got a number one or two. He could have easily said some garbage like that. So I give him a little credit.
He didn't say Kikuchi has ace stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
Yes.
I am not down with Dana Brown saying that he sees Yusei Kikuchi as a number three starter. You guys are right, though. He could have hammed this up a little bit more. Are you down with Dana Brown? Here's what he said about what they gave up for Yusei Kikuchi. If you want to acquire a good pitcher at the deadline, it's going to cost you. Winning comes at a cost. Are you down with Dana Brown saying winning comes at a cost?
Yes.
Yeah, he's right. Too. He is right.
All gave some gave all. Mm. Winning comes at a cost.
Mm.
Is that Coach K?
I think it's about World War II.
Oh, okay, good.
I think it's about war. But yeah.
No, this is like one of my favorite moments that's ever happened. You have the historian goes, "Is that Coach K?" And Sean's like, "No."
But in an annoyed tone. I want everyone to know. The tone was annoyed.
Some gave all gay stuff.
Astros GM Dana Brown on parting with Joey Loperfito. Are you down with Dana Brown? He says parting with him was hard, that Loperfito is a special human being. Do you buy both of those things as what he said? I don't buy that it was hard for them to move Joey Loperfito, but I do buy that Joey Loperfito is a special human being.
I'm going to agree with that.
We're all special human beings when it comes down to it.
And they made Joey That's cry.
True. That's true.
I wonder if they asked him directly, like, did you cry like Joey cried? Did you cry when you saw Joey cry? Did it make you feel worse?
I probably would have asked him what his thoughts were seeing Joey Loperfito after getting traded.
You made Joey cry. Well,
thoughts?
He actually did say, as an expanded point, just goes to show how great it is to work here. He did say that. So, those were his thoughts. I guess, don't really need a follow-up there.
I guess he spun it into a positive. See how great it is? The guy we just traded is crying, but he has to go to Toronto.
I love it.
And he's over 4.
Hey, God, Joe, what the hell, man? Stop. I don't need Joey Loperfito up here.
Point out facts. All I'm doing.
Come on, man.
How many strikeouts?
Only 2.
Only 2.
I was just curious. I just wanted more detail.
Censor that. Press the dump button. We're going to edit that out. down with Dana Brown. Are you buying Dana Brown here? He said this about the decisions made at the deadline. Quote, ultimately, I bear the responsibility as GM of the Houston Astros. I will ask people on my staff and we collaborate to make the best decisions possible for this organization. I make the final decision, and it was made by me with collaboration from the front office. Are you down with Dana Brown saying that Dana Brown run the show?
I mean, when you get fired, well, it's your fault. I mean, that's what he's saying. For now, I'm going to buy it. I think we kind of have to take him at his word with this one. I know he wouldn't publicly say, like, they told me to do this. But in the past, he has brought up Jeff Bagwell by name when talking about the committee. Like he's not, it's not just, you know, Crane, Bagwell, Reggie Jackson that bring it up. Dana Brownwood as well. So I'm going to kind of buy that these were his moves and not Jeff Bagwell and Jim Crane's. Okay. I think I'm going to buy this one.
Okay. Yeah, I, for now, am buying this. The Astros are definitely trying to make us believe that we should buy it, that Dan is running the show, and that Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell have their hands off. But everyone's going to point to that picture of Jeff Bagwell and Dana Brown talking to each other in the box last night. All right, Dana Brown, are you down with Dana Brown? Here's what he had to say about just the stretch run. We're definitely a major threat, especially when we get Verlander back. That gives us the pieces to make a run. Are the Astros a major threat? I'm down with that.
I'm down with that. I'm all about it.
I'm down. Would have loved it if he said when we get Verlander and Kyle Tucker back.
But... and Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers.
Ah! no, but I honestly think that they're more of a threat. If you had to choose one of the guys on the IL and you plop them on the team and what makes them more of a threat, I think adding Tucker. I mean, we talked about with adding a bat that I think that makes them more of a threat. If it's the team that was on the field last night plus Tucker, then plus Verlander.
We're going to hear more on that injury front in the next segment. One last one. Are you down with Dana Brown? The ultimate goal is to win the division. Oh, easy, Bill O'Brien. To get into the playoffs, to get to the World Series. The final goal is to win the World Series. You have to take it step by step. The first is win the division, but you have to have the rotation. As he once again says, that this is necessary. This Yusei Kikuchi trade, without actually saying it. Ultimate goal to win the division. I am not down with that. I am not down with that. I like that they're prioritizing it. Not down with it.
Yeah, ultimate goal is to reach the ALCS for the 8th straight time and then get to the World Series and then win the World Series.
Yeah, ultimate goal. Because he says ultimate goal, win the division, make the playoffs, get to the World Series. Final goal is to... It's ultimate goal and final goal. What are the differences between these two phrases? Yeah, I'm not down with this. He should have said, like... The obvious goal is to win the division so that then we can do our ultimate goal, which is to win the World Series. But yeah, I'm not down with what he was saying here because I don't really understand what he was saying.
He's setting a low bar.
But he says the ultimate goal is to win the division and get into the playoffs and get to the World Series.
Ultimate
the
goal.
The final goal is to win the World Series.
To win the division, to get into the playoffs, to get into the World Series.
Oh, is Dana Brown admitting that they can't make the playoffs if they don't win the division?
No. No. I don't like where you're going with this.
It's just a question.
I don't like where you're going.
Good question.
It's just a question.
I'm not ready for that victory lap.
He's just asking the question. All right, it's Gallant and George. He's Joe George. Sean Mace behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Up next, what the hell is going on the Astros injury front? Because we had a very interesting update for Kyle Tucker yesterday. It does not help us out at all. But we did have a couple of promising updates to get to. Stick around.
Hey, do you believe the Astros' ultimate goal is to win the division, to go to the World Series? Then you need to go to the Sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles, where you can bet on your favorite Texas teams and try to, you know, make some cash on the Astros, Texans, Rockets this season. Plus, football season's right around the corner. I can't wait for college football and the NFL. They've got their 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 47 TVs for game viewing across the sportsbook. It is also a fun time when we are there. We'll be there at the end of August. Great food as well. Trainwreck nachos, catfish sliders, the Po' Boys burgers, pizza, and more. All kinds of great stuff you can get from the menu. You can get Crawford Bach as well. The sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles is my go-to spot, and it should be yours as well. Before you go, make sure you become a PennPlay Reward member. You can just download the PennPlay app or go to PennPlaySports.com/cover5, and you can win up to $500 in PennPlay cash every single week. Must be 21 up. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Plan your next trip to LaBerge Lake Charles Casino Resort and tell them Joe George sent you.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
For those who care, Bryce Matthews, the Astros' first-round pick in last year's draft, who was scratched from his game for the Corpus Christi Hooks yesterday. Some people thought he might be about to get moved as part of some sort of a deal, maybe for Yandy Diaz or somebody else. There's a tweet that was posted, Joe, that you just saw.
Yes, the Corpus Christi Hooks official Twitter account tweeted, "Breaking! Bryce Matthews enjoyed his day off yesterday," with a photo of him throwing up the eight.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So,
watch out, Alex Bregman.
Got his Astros gear on.
He's coming for that ass.
Can he play left field? Or no.
Well, let's see Pedro Leon first.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope he's
good. You can't wait? Wow,
I'm excited.
That's not a good sign, but hey, look.
What does that mean?
What, you're excited for Pedro Leon? You're excited because
they've been gassing this kid up since they got him.
Mauricio Dubon's hit 160 this month, and Jake Myers is hitting like 175 this month.
I can't wait to not have to watch Chaz McCormick or those two guys.
Yep. No more banana pudding jokes.
No. The banana pudding jokes are back on the table.
They'll stay around.
They're back on the table. He's not doing well.
We need more. He needs more banana pudding.
That's the way the cookie crumbles, folks. All right, guys. We want to update you on what's going on with the Astros and their injuries. It's always murky, to be polite. Time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Bradley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
So Kyle Tucker was officially placed on the 60-day IL yesterday. When I first saw that, I freaked out. Then I realized, oh, wait, it's probably retroactive to when he first went on the injured list with a bruise, which was, oh, lordy, lordy, that was on June 6th. It is July 31st.
I'm just stunned we're here. It's still so bizarre to think back to the day after that game. And it's like, yeah, he'll probably be back Friday.
I don't know what the rules are for here at Gal Media as far as like how long you could be out with some sort of catastrophic injury before you have to come back in. But, man, it would be really someone should maybe try that. You bruise a shin. See how long you can milk
I feel like
it.
That's not gonna work. I feel like you gotta pull a duck.
Middle management show here. I think you gotta stepping on stepping on the American dream.
I'm just saying you can't pull Kyle Tucker. You gotta pull a Dustin May. Okay, you gotta tear your esophagus and then like we'll see how long.
Yeah, that would be disabling.
Yeah, that would be really challenging. God,
we still no update on how he did it.
Someone said steak.
Yeah, okay. I think the Dodgers broadcast mentioned that it was a steak dinner gone wrong.
Okay, listen, steak. As someone who's choked on steak a few times, it happens. Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia are supposedly close to minor league rehab assignments. Both pitched against live hitters yesterday. It was very surprising that Verlander did it. We have some Justin Verlander from the clubhouse after the game. He said that he felt good after pitching.
I felt good. Great step forward through all my pitches. So yeah, probably all I could ask for.
How many pitches you threw?
Good question. Don't know. 20-something? 20 right now?
Well, that's a good sign. I mean, not on a limit. Doesn't even know how many pitches he threw.
Hey, maybe he's back in the next 2 weeks?
Well, here's Justin Verlander talking about the lack of pain while he was on the hill.
Very good. I mean, knock on wood, no issues.
Will tomorrow be another tell sign?
Yeah, that's why I can't really say what the next step is. Still got to see how I bounce back. But, you know, before when it happened, it was immediate. I would feel it. So I think a great sign that I did.
All right.
I guess we'll find out more possibly as soon as today. But it does seem promising for both Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia.
If you can get both those guys back, one of them in the next 15 days, and then one of them before September, that'd be huge for the Astros.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how they put this all together now with Kikuchi on the roster. Like, if everyone's...
Six-man rotation?
They have to go six-man rotation.
They should, honestly, because the bullpen is worn the bleep out.
And it would help Blanco a ton.
Yeah, Blanco and Brown also look like they're kind of sputtering a little bit. So, yeah, six-man seems like the way to go.
No issues with his neck, though. That's nice to hear. By the way, Dana Brown on Lance McCullers, he might be an option in September.
not even we would be disappointed if it was September.
Because that's
was
for Kyle Tucker. He said they'd be Kyle disappointed if he's not back by September. Yes. So it's not really a prognosis, but.
Oh, yeah, I guess. This is a maybe in September.
Correct.
He'll do less than what he normally does.
God. I mean, he's still not throwing. He's not pitching this year.
Maybe. He said maybe.
Get back on the mound and throw a little bit, and then you could sell me on the idea. But he's...
What if he does it in full uniform again?
Maybe. I really want to know. Will Lance McCullers throw by the end of 2029? Maybe. Anyway, Little oasis in your life? No.
Lance McCullers more likely to pitch in September 2024 or not pitch again until September 2025? If you had to place a wager.
Probably the latter.
Yeah. I think his arm's broke. I don't know why.
You sound like a doctor right there.
It's real broke.
Excuse me, patients. Your elbow is broken. By the way, Tommy John surgery, we bitch and moan about the Astros having to deal with it all the time. I was looking through some news pieces on all the local news channel websites. KPRC2 has a story. Rise of Tommy John surgeries in Houston area youth baseball highlights growing concern for medical. What really struck me, says a physician, is that we're getting 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and 12-year-olds that are getting Tommy John surgery.
Man.
Houston is arguably the largest youth baseball market in the nation. Because of this, pitchers are being stretched to their limits like never before in search of wins, scholarships, and big league dreams. And as a result, major league injuries are occurring years before major league dreams become a reality. Says a physician therapist with Houston Methodist, I see anywhere from 4 to 5 new patients a week under the age of 18 for throwing injuries. That's crazy.
I just don't I saw a clip of Eric Hosmer's podcast. They had someone talking about this same thing. We're like kids because they're throwing 12 months a year. And when we were growing up, and I had friends that played baseball, the kids who are pitchers, they were told, don't pitch for 4 months. Like when your season's done, you take 4 months off and you let your arm rest. And now these kids just go all the time. And like, and maybe like that was one of the advantages of living in a place like Illinois, was like, what are you going to do in the winter for the most part? When back in the day, all you could do was find a basketball court and throw there, but it was hard to get time on it. This is 12. An 18-month rehab for a 12-year-old.
That's a lot of months.
Like,
that's crazy.
I had my first knee surgery when I was in eighth grade.
You've had multiple?
Yeah.
Damn.
And they were so worried about it, me like screwing it up because I was just a young, dumb kid. They put me in one of those casts that was from my toes to my hip.
Oh, dude, oh,
like
that's
the full leg
for
one.
6 months.
That sucks.
So I wouldn't ruin it. Like, what do you do with a 12-year-old who has Tommy John?
How do you scratch yourself? Get like a stick?
A ruler.
Left-handed. Oh man, that's
I would literally
brutal.
Use a ruler, but I couldn't if it was past my knee.
Oh, so you're just screwed.
You're screwed.
Damn.
Yardstick. Yeah. Get a yardstick.
Get a yardstick. Just like.
Oh,
reaching
God.
In there. That probably looked weird on camera.
I realized that
Joe's had some suspect weird. Hand motions. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Yeah, YouTube like, at ESPN Houston.
How do you stop a 12-year-old from not like, re-breaking his Tommy John or whatever?
You just got to throw him back out there so that he can make daddy and mommy money. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is Astros ER. That story from KPRC was something else. You can check it out for yourself at their website. Up next, we got more Deep Steel Blue Pills for you. More. The hype for the 2024 Texans continues. Stick around. Texans Swarm! All right, we heard from Nick Wright earlier in the show from First Things First saying that CJ Stroud is a great pick for MVP in 2024. And that we might be calling him the second best quarterback in the NFL at the end of the year. I also think that is on the table. Chris Long of the Green Light podcast, which I think is a great listen. I really enjoy Chris. He also has been loving on the Houston Texans this offseason. Now, of course, we've heard a lot about CJ Stroud. Here is Chris talking about the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
We'll see. I think they got better in a lot of areas, and I think CJ's a big enough dude to handle the Diggs thing. You know, and right now they're just trying to win. They wouldn't have gone out and done the Diggs thing if they didn't think CJ is a grown man enough to handle the situation. He's going to be – and Nico Collins and Tank Dell, the whole thing, like they're just a good football team, and people should be afraid of the Texans. And they should be afraid of the Packers, but I think the Texans did some things this offseason that really impressed me.
All right, I think that's fair. CJ Stroud, year two, any concerns before we move on?
The whole sophomore slump thing? Listen. Yeah.
I don't have him.
No, I don't have him. Hey, listen, you watch him play the Jets when nobody's out there at wide receiver. He looks like a rookie. But it also reinforces that the delta between him and like the dude down in Carolina, Bryce, might not be as big as people think, for instance. Because when you see a guy go out there without the talent around him, he's not perfect. I'm not saying he's like Jordan, but the guy is like he gives me Burrow vibes, CJ. And when they went and beat Cincinnati on the road, everybody should have been like, okay, this team's going to be for real for a long time.
Woo! For real for a long time. Mm-hmm. Burrow vibes. I will say as far as the sophomore slump goes, I am skeptical it will happen, but as I've said a couple of times having been out at Texans training camp, the offense has been very sluggish through 10 practices.
Yeah,
we are talking about practice, but it's
I didn't believe in it at all, but just the more you go and come back and tell us what's going on, the less just encouraged I feel.
It's the offensive line, I think, is the big issue right now.
Yeah, and if he's, you know, getting eaten alive every single game, it's going to be challenging. You play some good defense and some good defensive lines this year. Like, yeah, there will be lucky breaks. Like, when you play Indianapolis week one, they're best pass rusher has a torn ACL and he's out for the season. So, like, you catch a little bit of a break there. But this offensive line is not deep. If Tunsil or Howard goes down and they have to start doing the whole Howard to left guard and Blake Fisher to right tackle thing, none of that is positive. You lack depth at this point. So I'm starting to open my eyes to the CJ Stroud sophomore slump. I'm ready. I'm not gonna. We gotta see what the what are they called? The combo practices.
Joint practices.
Those are coming up soon.
I think they wrap up joint practices with the Rams. I forget who they have joint practices with before the Rams.
Yeah, but they've got two of those this year. Those are going to be
Saints.
Huge. I think it might be the Saints. Because that's really what preseason football is now. You're going to learn more at joint practices if they're here. Or we will from those. Then we won't preseason.
I guess it's just the Rams. And it's Thursday, August 22nd at NRG Park. That ought to be interesting. I thought it was going to be in L.A. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one joint practice is with the Rams available for you to actually watch. I think that joint practices are better than watching a preseason game. Obviously, you're not in the stadium and stuff like that, but I wonder if we go to that model in the near future. Anyway, that was Chris Long talking about C.J. Stroud. But Chris Long was a defensive lineman, like his dad, Howie, in the NFL for a while. Won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles in back-to-back years. He loves what he's seeing from the Texans on defense.
I think the Texans should be in the dog category. I think there should be five teams in that category. I really do.
Wow, really?
Well, why not? Because I think the defense got a lot better.
You would put them fifth.
I don't know if I'd put them fifth.
Over the Ravens?
Ravens got a lot to prove. They beat them last year in the playoffs, but I'm projecting that C.J. Stroud and that whole group grows up a little bit. And when they do, it's going to be scary. Here's the thing about the defense. Everything they did, they upgraded.
Yeah.
Think about it. They go out and get an edge rusher. He's one of the best in the league, Hunter, right? I liked Grenard, but Hunter's blue chip. Yeah. They go out and get El Shaair at linebacker. That dude is going to add so much to that defense from like a range perspective and the whole thing. I was geeking about that signing.
He likes the defense. He thinks the defense is going to improve a lot this year. Hey, if we want to talk about how the offense is struggling, the defense is certainly not struggling. You've been getting rave reviews about second-round corner Kamari Lassiter from just about everybody. Azeez Al-Shaair as a leader from everybody. Derek Stingley Jr. probably has been the star of camp, at least as far as what we actually, we who are not like studying the film of training camp practices can see. And Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter have been massive pains in the ass. And they're doing this all without Danico Autry, who's suspended the first six games. So, defense, the defense making a big jump this coming season. I can see it happening.
Al-Shaair is the guy that I'm probably the most excited about, just because he seems to be the, sportsgasm, is the way I would put it.
What do you mean by that?
Like, the way just, DJ Bienname yesterday, and everyone's just, cannot stop saying enough great things about
I think you got to reframe that. You and your hand motions and sports cats.
I think that was a good
one. I get it. Yeah. The deep steel blue pill, you're taking it. So.
Yeah. And ladies, she'll love it too.
Yeah. But he's the guy that everyone's so excited about in camp.
The meat and potatoes.
Yeah. And then Sting, like Derek Stingley Jr. Ooh, if he's healthy.
I like that. Call him Sting.
Man, I'm excited to see him this year.
Better Sting. Sting from the Police or Sting the Wrestler?
Sting the Wrestler.
No, wrong.
No.
Every breath you take. Stalker's National Anthem? Come on.
Sting the Wrestler.
I'll be watching you. Can't you see you belong to me? Should I unblock girl that ghosted me and text her that?
Yeah, just text her the lyrics to I'll be watching you.
I get a restraining order.
Yes.
I mean, it would be bad for me, but it would be a funny radio bit.
Can we get them to drop off the restraining order while we're on the air?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get served in papers in the middle of a segment?
Yeah. Can we have come knock on the door while we're on the air and be like, Paul, there's someone to see you?
I hope Esme who's at the front desk, Esme knows. If someone's coming for Paul, I'm going to stop him.
Play defense.
Got a Texan swarm, baby. So there you go, another deep steel blue pill. We are closer and closer to the start of the NFL season, and the Texans kick off the preseason tomorrow night in Canton to open up the month of August. Up next, some garbage time. I feel like we got to stay in solidarity with the people who have been under the thumb of a witch hunt
in the world of sports because we got some updates. Stick around for those updates on our brothers in arms, we Houston Astros fans. Next, stick around. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We as Astros fans must stand with our brothers in arms. Those brothers in arms are people who have been wrongfully the subject of witch hunts because people, i.e. the haters, are jealous of their success. If you're an Astros fan and you saw the sign stealing happen that the Red Sox were kind of punished for, but everyone sort of overlooked, Alex Cora is the second highest paid manager in baseball. No big deal. Dodgers did it. Yankees did it. The New England Patriots, the greatest dynasty in the history of the world, move over China. They, too, subject of a witch hunt. And on top of that, Michigan, the Michigan Wolverines. And guess what? The NCAA is seeking a 1 to 2 year postseason ban against Michigan for their sign-stealing scandal that will have an untold documentary about Connor Stallions. I think it's funny that the NCAA can only seek a 1 to 2 year postseason ban. Goes to show you they are losing more and more power by the day. And holding up my right fist right now, we stand with you, Michigan.
Yeah.
You're in Houston.
If Michigan's probably just going to, this is going to be one of those where they just accept the ban. Because they're going to probably.
No.
No, but I think that's the only way you can get a postseason ban. Now,
take it.
Is if you take, I don't think they can, like,
you bend the knee.
Yeah.
Like, make them force you to take the knee, but they have to go in there. They have to invade Ann Arbor. Yeah, they have, like, to make you sit down. They have to go into the big house and make you give it up.
Yeah. Arizona State, I think, like, self-imposed a bull ban last year, and they're terrible. They weren't going to make a bull anyway.
Yeah.
But they self-imposed a ban to, like, get softer, like, scholarship penalties or something. So they just took the bull ban. But I think that's, I mean, I don't even know before Arizona State, the last team to actually get bowl banned for anything.
Yeah, I think that's what, if anything, that's what Michigan will do is, you know, they'll lose what, week two they play Texas? Is that correct?
Yes, week two.
And, you know, they lose by 30 in that game because all their talent's in the NFL. And they go, yeah, we'll take a one-year ban. It's okay.
It's probably what's going to happen.
We'll take the hit this year.
Yeah, we'll take the hit this year.
We won't play the Tech Slayer Bowl.
Yeah.
What if they win their first couple of games, though?
Then they will not take the ban.
Yeah, they won't win their first couple.
If they beat Texas, then they're
back in the playoffs.
They are going back to where they want to go.
Aren't they top 10 still?
They still have, I mean, they had, what, 13, 15 guys drafted, but they still have a lot of talent.
We also, well, I also stand with Canada. For those who don't know, the Canadian women's soccer team was allegedly using a drone to spy on other teams' practices. The appeal that they filed with the IOC has been dismissed. I think they should appeal to the Supreme International Olympic Committee Court, if it exists, or to the Supreme Court of the United States, which, of course, as we are world police, that should be at the tops. And I believe that just like the Astros and Michigan and the Patriots, that Canada is innocent, even though Canada literally had an email chain where they used the word spy.
Now,
in it,
Jim Crane made the decision back in 2020 to fire AJ Hinch. How do we feel about being in lockstep with Canada? They fired the coach,
and I mean, unfortunately, the Bucks not going to stop there. But I feel like they're innocent, even though they admitted to sign stealing in an email. I think they're innocent.
There's nothing wrong with stealing signs.
They sent an email to an external human resources consultant with Canadian Soccer the same day. Quote, seeking your advice and input regarding this formal email on spying. It's something the analyst has always done, and I know there's a whole operation on the men's side with regards to it. So this email might even throw Canadian men's soccer under the bus, and we stand in lockstep with Canadian men's soccer and Canadian women's soccer. If they're stealing signs, as an Astros fan, we all must be in unison with them.
Now, if they win, they have to win. I don't stand with the Colorado Rockies who used the Theragun and still sucked at baseball.
But they tried.
No losers.
Yeah.
No losers. You got to win if you're going to cheat.
If you're going to cheat, you got to be a winner.
Canadian men's soccer is better than the U.S. team based off of Copa America.
Right. I'm just saying.
But
like,
come on. If you want to the U.S. Raise the banner Canada. Better than the U.S.
Like you got to win. Those are the rules.
Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank admitted to making procedural mistakes while tampering. And that, honestly, Arthur Blank should be in jail.
I mean.
Tampering is worse than sign stealing.
It is.
It is.
Like, how else did they know they were going to get Kirk Cousins?
I hope Arthur Blank gets sent to jail. Look, we're talking white-collar jail. He's a billionaire. He'll
shave his mustache.
Well, there's only one who can have a mustache in the National Football League. The great Cal McNair.
That's true. He does have the best mustache in the league. And the backwards hat looks great. And they also just used last night to sell new product, too, which I was like, because okay. They made a special Texans hat.
Yeah.
Which I kind of want. I'm a sucker.
See?
I'm a sucker.
That started with like, they're just trying to sell a hat, which I want. I would love that hat, actually.
Well, I mean, like, I wanted like the 713-day hats, but like, you know, I'm not, you know. I don't have that kind of money. It's been $300 on a hat and a box.
I can't believe those hats were $300.
I think it's like the what it came in more is the...
Oh, the case?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
Hat culture is weird. Like, take the sticker off. Take the sticker off. I don't understand that. Is your sticker on?
No, it's gone.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, do you want to look like you didn't... Like, that's what I think. I was like, wait, did you just take it off the rack and leave?
Ooh.
Can I do that? I don't know. It looks dumb. It's like it's a metal sticker. Like why?
I agree.
The flat brim's fine. The sticker I don't get it. But again, this is the rantings and ravings of a 35-year-old white man. So what do I know? Hey, time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Interesting Olympics news from the United States diving team. Tom Daley gave his diving partner, Noah Williams, a very unique gift. It's a sock.
Okay.
But it's a sock. There's two words for this gift. And the first word rhymes with the second word. Joe, can you guess what this sock is for?
No, I don't know. What do you use a sock for? You put on door handles?
No, it's not for
that. Yeah, the Olympic Village, that could
that's
be.
What I assume, like,
it
that's
could
what
be.
I, like, that's what, like, it was like, hey, like, this one's yours, this one's mine, in case no one can come in the room.
So apparently both these guys have OnlyFans, and I guess this is just something that they wear on their OnlyFans, but it is a wiener sock. Like,
Oh.
Yeah. So the U.S. men's diving team, they're very comfortable with their sexuality.
So we got OnlyFans stars in the Olympics now?
I guess so.
All right.
I'm reading this. They were doing a Q&A on YouTube, and Daley said the present was a last-minute 21st birthday gift. We're in the middle of Budapest. And, and they donned it for some of his subscribers on OnlyFans. So there is a men's OnlyFans world.
Mm.
No, I have not checked it out yet. Yet.
When Paul quits, we know why. He's made
I'm gonna
big.
Get my own C-word sock.
Yeah, he has a whole bunch of
socks.
He has a whole bunch of socks in his briefcase, and he just quit. What could possibly be happening here?
Where's Paul going?
Strong, independent woman Sydney Sweeney says she will not stop doing Hollywood nude scenes.
Okay,
respect her power.
Good for her.
Thank you.
The Olympics do not feel that way. They told camera operators that you have to stop being sexist with some of the camera angles you're showing. There was one in particular. It was like a panoramic Michael Bay style.
Oh, and I saw the
circle
one.
Around yes. a couple of
and
ladies
he,
with
he
beautiful
dogs. He got low.
Yeah, he got low. Listen, we all know what he was doing.
Low man wins.
It was real creepy.
I'll be honest. I didn't hate it, but I mean, because I respect the strong, powerful, independent women athletes. Was that the last ever words that Paul Gallant said on the air? I guess you'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out. That's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George. For Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Happy July, peace!
Yeah.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.